I got my body and my mind on the same page, and honey, now happiness is all the rage. I got my body and my mind on the same page, and honey, now happiness is all the rage.
Welcome to the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. My name is Mark Roberts, and you can find me on Twitter at Mark F. Roberts. And that is Mark with a C, just like Marc Gasol. And tonight I am joined by Kyle McEwen, who you can find on Twitter at RotoKyleNBA. Is that right, Kyle?
Did you almost say RotoWireKyleNBA?
I couldn't remember if you left the NBA in or not, actually.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. It's RotoKyleNBA.
RotoKyleNBA. And how is Kyle spelled? With a K, I guess?
It's with a K, Y, L, and an E.
Nice. Kyle, how are you doing tonight?
It's bittersweet, like those songs that have that word in it. Tonight is going to be great, but it's going to be a little sad. This is going to be my last daily podcast with the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Mark's still going to be kicking butt and chewing bubble gum. But he's all out of bubble gum every night. But I just started my new job at Basketball Monster a little over a week ago, and I'm loving it, and I'm working a lot of hours, and I just don't have the extra line on the reel is what I'll say. But anyways,
is that a fishing analogy?
I think it was, and I just made that up unless somebody else has said it before.
Line on the reel. I'm not sure how that would work. I don't fish a lot though, so you might have to explain that to me off air.
I'm not much of a fisherman either, but I was fishing for a phrase there and it fell apart.
Ooh, good one.
Thanks. So anyways, I'm still going to be on the podcast from time to time. It's just, I'm not going to be here every single night vomiting into the microphone.
Cal, I know I speak for everyone when I say obviously sad to not have you with us every night. But we will look forward to those times that you grace us with your presence from time to time.
Jesus, man, that sounds like a eulogy.
Kyle was a great man.
We won't have his presence here every night.
No, but we'll miss you. I'm sure everybody will miss you, and a lot of people will follow you wherever you go. But also congratulations on getting such a sweet gig though at Basketball Monster. You definitely deserve that. So
thanks, man. I really like working for that site. I've been a fan of the site for quite a few years. So it's exciting to be working there and working on all the content there with Josh Lloyd of Red Rock, y'all.
Do you want to just do a quick plug and tell everybody? I mean, you talked about it a little bit. Do you want to talk about like what you'll be doing over there? I'm sure people are a little bit interested in that.
I'm doing a little bit of writing, so you'll see a couple articles a week potentially. Might jump on Josh's podcast from time to time that he hosts through or also in addition to with Basketball Monster Red Rock. It's weird, the association, but it's cool. Anyways, and I work on the projections and the status updates and things like that. So if you see anything wrong on the site, yell at me, I guess, because it's probably my fault. Anyways, that's pretty much it. It's an awesome job.
What do you say?
It's awesome. Yeah. So anyways, yeah, let's talk some basketball. This is boring. Let's get into it.
Yeah. Let's get into it. Let's talk about the news of the day. I tried to pull out some of the biggest headlines of today just to talk about before we get into the box scores. Start with Jabari Parker. He officially came back and he started versus the Sixers. I don't know if we really had this conversation yet, Kyle. What are you, if Jabari Parker is on the waiver wire, do you feel like, what are you doing with him?
He played just 16 minutes in his return to the court. You also think that he's probably going to sit out a lot of one game of a back-to-back set. That's going to be hard to own in a lot of leagues. If you're playing in a very deep league or a league where you have a long bench where you can stash Parker, obviously not one of those daily lineup leagues where you're playing head-to-head and you have to rotate new guys into your active slots every day. If you can stash Parker, you can consider having him on your bench. But for the most part, I don't know if you're probably going to have to hang on to him so long for him to actually get amped up to be a good, reliable fantasy producer for you that I don't think it's going to be worth it. Because even last year, he wasn't putting up gaudy numbers every single night. He was kind of just how would you describe his numbers, Mark?
he's not super proficient, I guess I would say. Like he's not going to do things in 24 minutes that would be interesting in a
he puts up stats like an old man Paul Pierce.
Yeah. So I think he needs probably 33 to 35 minutes a game before he becomes standard league relevant. I think that we're a little ways off from that. So I would just say, I kind of agree with you. I don't think, even though the name is exciting and I hope that like he becomes an awesome NBA player, I don't think his prospects are that interesting and somebody I'd want to pick up. I do think they'll bring him along slowly.
I'm really excited that he's already playing though, just a week into the season, you know, or a little over a weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. And the truth is, if you want him on your team, like even if you played in daily league, probably now is the time to pick him up if he hasn't been picked up already, because just for that, the potential sake, I'm sure somebody in your league will pick him up. So if you want him, don't listen to our advice, I guess. We don't think he's going to be productive, but if you want him, go pick him up now, because I think now is the chance to do it.
I think there's other guys we're going to talk about tonight, though, that you're going to want to go pick up first, like TJ McConnell. If you are listening to this right now and you're sitting at your computer, go pick up TJ McConnell. So I'm going actively right now to go pick up McConnell in all of my leagues. I mean, I'm absolutely picking him in 12 team leagues, and I'm considering adding him in 10 team leagues. If there's somebody I had on my team, you know, it might've been ironically like Ben McLemore, you know, I'm going to dump him.
Right. No, I picked up McConnell in pretty much everywhere I could fit him, 10 team leagues and deeper. Just because Philadelphia's, their system lends itself well to point guards. We saw what, you know,
MCW. Michael
Carter. Yeah, Michael Carter Williams could do there. And he's sort of never been able to replicate that. And, you know, TJ McConnell may not be the most. So this is the second big game we've seen him from the assist category, put up elite production. Obviously you'd like the rebounds tonight. So he had 12 assists, 9 rebounds. He only put up 7 points. He only shot 4 shots. So that'll probably think going forward, but you love the previously.
Yeah. You love the efficiency too on the shooting. So, mm-hmm. And the minutes, and we've talked about it. Cannon's not a guy that they think can run their offense. All the players were coming out on Wednesday and talking about, and I believe Tuesday too, there's this a lot of chatter from the news reporters on how Nerlens Noel, Jahlil Okafor, they all love playing with TJ McConnell. So it wasn't too big of a surprise to see him jump into the starting lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. Nick Skauskas already also, has he been starting? This is, I feel like, is the first time he played really big minutes, but maybe I'm wrong.
I believe this is his second or third game starting now. So yeah, it's his second game starting.
Yeah. He played 35 minutes. He only shot 5 of 19 from the field, but he had 14 points, 7 rebounds and 4 assists. I think you're a Stauskas believer, aren't you, Kyle?
Yeah, absolutely. I just knew that from watching him when he played at Michigan, that he had more to his game than just being a stand there and shoot it 3-point guy. So the fact that he was getting traded to a team that needed a ball handler, needed a facilitator, and just a team that didn't have a lot of talent on it in the Sixers this summer, it just looked like a great opportunity for Stauskas to have a good year, even if he wasn't necessarily actually a good player.
Right. The other Philadelphia 76ers news that we need to cover is that Robert Covington has been ruled out for roughly 2 weeks. According to the Philadelphia Inquirer, he re-aggravated his MCL strain and he is not traveling with the team. So that kind of stinks. If you picked up Covington, do you feel like 2 weeks is long enough that you want to hold on to him, or are you at the point where you would just drop him?
I'm going to hold on to Covington if I have an injured reserve slot. Uh-huh. It's going to be harder to hold on to him if I'm not holding on to Covington. If I had a bad first week and I'm already down at the bottom of the pool, I'm probably not going to hold on to Covington in a head-to-head league with daily moves where you need to be rotating in healthy guys. I'm going to get somebody else there. And I would even consider adding, if you can't get McConnell, if Stauskas isn't available, I would consider adding Jeremy Grant, who started at small forward on Wednesday as well, because he's a guy who can put it up in multiple categories. He could end up being one of those 1-1-1 guys who gets you a 3-pointer, a steal, and a block.
Right. Good advice there. Other news of the day, Aaron Aflalo is expected to be back as soon as Friday. He may be back in the starting lineup. We haven't heard that for sure yet, but they play. He didn't play on Wednesday against the Cavs, but he could be back Friday. So what sort of league would you have to play in before you start considering picking him up? Like, how deep of the league would you want to own Aflalo in?
14-team league, because he gives you modest or slightly better than average points. He might give you a little over a three-pointer a game and less than a steal a game, with, depending on how he's used on the team, maybe 2.5 assists, but maybe only 1.5. He's not that great of a player. I'm not excited about him. And if Jerry and Grant continues to play the way that he's playing, the shoe's going to drop on Aaron Aflalo at some point. But the way the Knicks are rolling right now, Derek Fisher said that he's going to wait until Aflalo gets back to change the starting lineup, which means he's waiting because he's going to put Aflalo into the starting lineup whenever Aflalo returns, either Friday or Sunday. And that means Jose Calderon is probably staying in the starting lineup. And then Sasha Vujicic just might not be in the rotation. Because Langston Galloway and Jerry and Grant are playing great off the bench in about 25 minutes a game.
Yep. Other news, last piece of news I wanted to get to, for those Myers Leonard owners out there, I know you've all been frustrated with Myers Leonard, and you might look at the box score from Wednesday night and see he only had 2 points and 2 blocks and only played 11 minutes. That's because he left the game with a right ankle sprain. And he did not return. So we don't know how severe that is at this point, but don't overreact because you saw that he only played 11 minutes or something. It's due to that ankle sprain. So if you're holding on to him, I think this game certainly doesn't change his value, unless we hear that the ankle sprain is severe enough that it's going to limit him, or he's going to miss some time.
Yeah. I'm hanging on to him through the weekend, or until we hear that he's going to be ruled out for a long period of time. I haven't been convinced by his role, and I'm still not worried about Myers Leonard. I know it's been a hell of a crappy week, but I'm just not worried yet.
Is there any specific reason you feel that way about him, or just sort of your intuition?
He was potentially, he was dealing with the numbness in his non-shooting hand. I'm an idiot. I was talking about it being his shooting hand. He's a righty, not a lefty. I don't know why the hell I was thinking that like a week ago when we started talking about this. He was dealing with a little bit of that numbness that, who knows, maybe that affected him, even though it was on his non-shooting arm. He's been getting open looks. The shots aren't going in. He was in contract negotiations with the team. They fell out. They didn't come to an agreement. He might have been stressed out by that. He says he wasn't, but that might be lip service. It's the beginning of the season. It's the first time he's been given a starting spot. They have faith in him. They put him in position to be the starter. That this is the guy they want to be the starter for. I think they're going to give him a pretty long leash. And even if he went to the bench for a couple games, maybe he finds a shot, and then it's like, whoops, put him back into the starting lineup, because that's what we were planning on doing anyways.
Yeah. So, I mean, basically, we don't think he forgot how to shoot.
Pretty much. Right. 50, 40, 90. You don't just do that.
Right, exactly. But, you're right. There's a lot of adjustments, obviously, to go through to switch his role. I'm looking for the Boston game up here, and whatever reason, I can't see it. I wanted to talk about what Boston did with their front court.
Oh, man, exciting night, kind of. Well, it's kind of sucked because...
There it is. Oh, duh. It's highlighted in yellow, which is why I can't read it. That's dumb. They started Jared Sullinger and Amir Johnson tonight, and they moved Zeller and Lee to the bench and basically moved Zeller out of the rotation for tonight, which I think we have to have that caveat on there with Boston, because who knows what's going to happen tomorrow. But what did you think of that changeup?
I like it. Jared Sullinger's been playing well, according to everybody on Twitter. I haven't watched much of the Boston Celtics this year. Amir Johnson is just... This is just a better starting lineup than what they had in there. David Lee, it doesn't look like he's going to work, or it didn't look like he was going to work. And he hasn't really extended his shot. You wondered how this Tyler Zeller, David Lee front court was going to work for this team that's supposed to be about passing and spacing and all this kind of stuff. So it's just weird to me that that's what Brad Stevens decided to go with to start the year. So this is more exciting to me. I think Amir Johnson should be a starter. I don't know who should be playing next to him, whether it's Lee Zeller or Oral Linick.
Do you like it enough that you anything fantasy roster wise about it? Or are you recommending it?
No.
What would it take for you to pick up Jared Sollinger, I guess, is the better question. Like, what would you need to see from him?
I would need two of the other bigs to get hurt really bad.
So you're just not doing it. You don't want to play with the Brad Stevens rotation.
Brad Stevens is a mad scientist right now. His quotes in the media lately have been like, I'm not going into the game with a plan anymore. I'm going to do it on the fly. And he's literally just going out there like, okay, he's flipping over cards and saying, yep, we're going to play number two now. Play Jack. So
it seems like maybe all the losing has gotten, it's like seeped into his brain at this point. He's just either gone crazy or has become a genius. And I guess we'll figure out which one it was.
One of the things that he said, and Boston did not win this game against Indiana. One of the things that Brad Stevens said was that he doesn't ever want to be beholden to a plan because he wants to be able to adjust in the game. And that's why you see so much changing and stuff like that. But it's like, if you're making all these micromanagement changes, you're not putting much faith in your players to make adjustments. And
no, that's a good point.
It's just, I wonder if he's like, he's his own worst enemy in some respect, because maybe he wasn't given, might also be going on with him is he just might not like any of these guys. He might not feel like he has a big man on his team that actually fits with what he wants to have them do. I mean, every single person on this team has issues or red flags or quirks about their game. They're all weird. David Lee's a weirdo. Jonas Derebko's a freaking weirdo. Tyler Zeller's he's some kind of nut, like an acorn.
Sure. Yeah. I've never heard him described in a better way than that.
Think about his head. His head's kind of acorn shaped.
It's true. Hey, the other thing I wanted to talk about from this game is on the Pacers side, Jan Nahimny was out and they started Jordan Hill at center and Miles Turner still only played 18 minutes. That kind of makes me feel like we're just not going to see Miles Turner get the sort of playing time he needs anytime soon. Like there's no dominoes to fall, quick dominoes to fall that will make him fantasy relevant, even though we think he could be if he got the playing time. Do you agree or disagree?
Not with Indiana winning two games in a row. That's gonna give them the ammunition they need to say, we're still going to limit him. Plus, I think they're a little bit worried about him getting knee tendonitis again or getting knee or ankle soreness again. I know his ankle soreness was just because he came down on somebody's foot, but I just think they're being super cautious with him right now and they don't want to have him fail too much. But here's the things to like about Miles Turner. His shot is legit, but when he's out he's going to get blocks in very few minutes, and he's probably going to get one and a half blocks in about 20 minutes a game, but he's not comfortable out there right now. He's reacting rather than anticipating. So he's just slower than everybody. George Hill tried to find him on a couple passes last night, and it was like they were just hitting frying pan hands because he wasn't ready for it. So that's what I see when I watch Miles Turner right now. He's got the tools. He's got the talent. He's just he's getting used to the pace of the NBA right now. And until he starts to show that, he's going to play just 18 minutes a game or 20.
Makes sense. Hey, we have a lot of games tonight. So rather than necessarily going through every box score, I'm just going to jump around a little bit and talk about some of the
Marcus,
the things that I think are interesting, what we've talked about.
One thing on the Boston Celtics, Marcus Smart has a sprained, I think, right or left toe. And he was in a walking boot at the game. He was ruled out about, I think, like an hour and a half before the game. Isaiah Thomas started at point guard, played 36 minutes. Great game, like usual, from Isaiah Thomas. But really just the Marcus Smart thing. He's day-to-day right now. Don't know how long he's going to be out, and they don't know how the injury happened.
Thanks for that update. Hey, I want to jump over to the Magic Rockets game. I think there's some interesting things for us to dive into there.
I love Magic Rockets.
Oh, I'm starting to really feel bad for the Magic and how they seem to find ways to just barely lose every game.
Google Fournier. Oh my gosh.
Don't Google Fournier, right?
Exactly.
That's his official name. I, of course, stupidly did it as soon as I saw that and immediately regretted it.
I held off. It is disgusting. It is quite
You
disgusting.
Clearly did not hold off.
I held off for quite some time. Okay. And then I was hanging out on Basketball Monster, and there was just like this big line of Evan Fournier comments on his profile, and it's just like, oh my God, do not look at it. Which by then I'm like, well, of course I have to.
Yeah. I only looked for about 0.2 seconds, and then I threw up and left.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not. Yeah. Anyway. But let's talk about him. Like, I think over the week or so, we've kind of said, yeah, it's not real. This isn't Evan Fournier is not really going to be relevant. Don't worry about pursuing him. But Kyle, I don't know if we can say that anymore. Like,
I mean, I mean, you have to own a guy if he's putting up stats like this. I think the conversation that we generally were having was, is he going to play enough throughout the season? And is he good enough to be the go-to guy throughout the season? Here's what might really help Evan Fournier. The Magic's two best games of the season have been with him balling out right now.
Mm-hmm. I guess the hesitation I still have is what I mentioned to you the other night is it wasn't the exact same thing, but it kind of felt like he did the same thing last year and then tailed off towards the end of the season. So I still feel like the right idea is to pick him up, which is probably not an option anymore. And if you didn't pick him up because of our advice, I'm sorry. But if you did pick him up, or if you can still pick him up, use him for as long as he's useful and then cut him after he has, what, two bad games? Or he's, you know, two games where, not necessarily bad games, but two games where he gets like 22 minutes or 24 minutes or something.
I would much rather go pick up Aaron Gordon right now. With Nick Vucevic leaving the Orlando Magic game with a hyperextended knee, or I believe that's what he suffered.
I saw that it was a non-contact injury, which always makes you a little bit nervous.
People on Twitter said it didn't look good. I haven't seen it yet, but yeah, Vucevic leaving with an injury, and it's to his knee.
You think Gordon's the fill-in there?
What I mean, they're going to play Dwayne Dedman a lot, but really, I just think you end up seeing those smaller lineups where they throw Gordon at.
Oh, man, that would be so fun if they
threw Gordon. Yeah, Gordon and Tobias Harris and Fournier, Payton, and Oladipo, or throw in, you know, Hazonia in there and stuff. Dude, be killer. But yeah, Dwayne, I think there's going to be opportunities now for them to do that at times because nobody likes Andrew Nicholson and nobody likes his older, better brother, Channing Frye.
On the Houston Rockets side, this is another guy that we talked about a few days ago and didn't really believe in, and he continues to put up fantasy value, is Marcus Thornton. He played 29 minutes again tonight. He had 18 points, 3 assists, 3 rebounds, and 2 3-pointers. Are you feeling unchanged about Marcus Thornton?
I'll say this. Kevin McHale doesn't care. So if they're winning, he's not going to care that Terrence Jones had the starting power forward gig. He's going to roll out Trevor Ariza as his starting power forward straight to the championship if they're winning. So that's intriguing to me. Now, this team did not win when they had Clint Capella in there and not Dwight Howard. So I'm just trying to think through the whole thing.
Is there any sort of league, like what's league size would you have to be in to take a flyer on Marcus Thornton?
Me?
Yeah.
Personally?
30.
This is the worst thing about me as a fantasy analysis is I do have my biases.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, oh, yuck. I guess he's not the worst thing in the world. I just, there's going to be somebody I like more than Marcus Thornton available on the waiver wire. I almost guarantee it. If I'm in a 12 team league, sure, I'll add him as a flyer right now. If I need scoring and I need three pointers, well, if you've got
that's
somebody,
not the answer I expected from you.
If you've got Ben McLemore on your team and you're looking for actual production at that position, then go grab Marcus Thornton. It's not going to last. I really don't think it's going to last. But
yeah,
who knows?
I think that there's enough intrigue just because he seems like a perfect sort of bench player for their system. As somebody who can just fire three pointers and shots up and be a guy who stands in the corner for James Harden, I think that's a useful use of a roster, a floor person for him.
As long as they don't let him dribble the ball, I'm okay with it.
And I really think that might be the plan here, although he did have three assists. But, I mean, I think you can just put Thornton in the corner and then let James Harden do his thing. So I'm sort of intrigued by him.
With Ty Lawson and James Harden passing to anybody, they're going to be good. They're going to be better than usual.
Right. And we've seen Corey Brewer have fantasy value in limited minutes. So I think if you need those categories, and then sort of a similar situation to Fournier, like once he stops producing, don't feel bad about dropping him immediately. But if you want to use him while he's going well, I kind of agree with you. I think Mikel's going to use him until it stops working. So I'm not afraid to pick him up if I need those stats. All right, Kyle, last thing I want to get to tonight is in the Sacramento Kings game. You alluded to this several times already. Ben McLemore was moved out of the starting lineup for this game, and James Anderson was moved into the starting lineup. There was some kind of mixed signals we got from the Kings and whether this would be a permanent change or a game-to-game change. I don't know if you have a better read on it than I do or an expectation going forward, but
James Anderson looks like he's going to get some run, but he also started at small forward because the Kings are playing the Suns, and the Kings decided to match up with the Suns with DeMarcus Cousins out. They threw in two point guard set. Darren Collison started, so Ben McLemore went to the bench. Rudy Gay went up to power forward. Kosta Koufos moved to the bench after starting last game, and that created room for James Anderson. So it just depends on what George Karl wants to do going forward. If he's going to play different lineups to match up with different teams, we might see James Anderson in there some games. We might see him not in there some games because I don't know if they would have started Rudy at small forward and DeMarcus at power forward in this game, or if they would have just took Willie Cauley-Stein out of the lineup. I don't know what they would have done.
Yeah, that's a good question. But I think your main takeaway here is you're okay
McLemore sucks.
Dropping Ben McLemore.
Yeah, Carl actually came out and said that he needs to earn his minutes off the bench now. So, yeah, and last night, somebody asked Carl about McLemore's performance, and he said, he's like, I want to watch the tape. I want to make sure that I saw what I saw.
Those aren't necessarily good things when your employer starts saying that about you.
Yeah. So he's not happy with McLemore. He's not out there engaged. He's not making plays. He's not being a playmaker. And these are Carl's words. He needs to, not verbatim, but he needs to figure out that he needs how to fit into the way the system runs and all this kind of stuff. So, all right.
All right, Cal, that's all I got tonight. Do you have anything else you want to cover?
Nothing much. The Dwayne Dedman, if Nikola Vucevic is out, he's probably the guy who's going to start at center there for Orlando, and he could provide pretty decent rebound and block numbers, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So consider putting him on your watch list or know who he is in case, Mark or I on Twitter start screaming out, go pick him up.
Kyle, is there anything you want to say to everybody before we head out?
I love you guys. Is that it?
I think so.
Should I do a sign off?
Did you want to just like chant Timberwolves a million times to shove it in everyone's face?
Why the Timberwolves?
Well, isn't that what everybody gets on your case for saying
In a way
that is annoying to them?
Isn't that how you say Timberwolves?
I can't totally hear it, but I have definitely heard people complain about how you say the name of the Minnesota team.
Do I say it Wolves? Do I say Timberwolves like a dog?
Again, it's not something that personally offends me, so I'm not sure I'm the right person to talk to, but I do know that I've seen plenty of comments from people asking you to learn how to pronounce Minnesota Timberwolves appropriately.
Haters got to hate on the theme song that I had too, the Promise Ring song. I saw that on Twitter today, haters. Haters. My name is Kyle McHugh, and you can find me on Twitter at RotoKyleNBA. Thank you for hanging out with me.
Yeah, and I'm Mark Roberts. You can find me on Twitter at Mark F. Roberts. As far as shows go for the rest of this week, I'm hopeful that we'll have a show for Thursday and Friday. I guess this is Thursday's show. I'm hopeful we'll have a show for Friday, and then we'll definitely get things straightened out for next week. So look forward to that. Hopefully you'll stick around, and hopefully we'll hear Kyle's voice on here not in the not-too-distant future. So
I'll be lurking.
Thanks for hanging out, everybody. We'll see you later. Bye.
I got my body and my mind on the same page, and I mean now happiness is all the rage. I got my body and my mind on the same page, and honey, now happiness is all the rage.